to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, folks, I hope you're bearing with me here this morning. A little bit of technical difficulties trying to get in. In fact, I can see that others are having mail about a phone connection. Stephanie's having trouble with the phone connection. I'm in Presque, Maine. Get a map out and look at that. Jared, maybe do that real quick. I want people to see where we are. Maybe I'm trying to work here, folks, on my we're in Presque Isle, Maine. Unbelievable. We're close to the Canadian border. My phone has I'm an hour ahead. So it's 7 o'clock here. But on my phone, it's 8 o'clock. Now, think about this. I went farther east. And the time.
I think he needs to go to McDonald's.
Phone connection problem.
I don't think his connection is good.
No.
Well, until... Yeah.
Does that make sense? So you're watching live now at 7 o'clock. I am east, and it's 8 o'clock, because I'm on some type of Canadian time, and I'm on the Canadian internet.
God bless whoever tried to pick it up and carry for. Here's what's going on. I'm in Presque Isle, Maine. Fort Fairfield, which somebody just corrected me. I'm in Fort Fairfield, Maine, which is way up here. I don't care whether I'm in Fort Fairfield or Presque Isle. I'm way up here. And it's interesting that on my phone, we had a good signal to do the show, had it all set up and everything, and all of a sudden the signal went dead on us, so I'm sorry for the dead air. But it's interesting, on my cell phone, when I pick up my phone to call in, the time is 8:03, or whatever it is right now. It's 8 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. What are you saying, Coach? I'm saying I'm on Canadian time. Now, how is Canadian time different? How is Canadian time an hour ahead of us? And I'm still in America. Anyway, God bless you all. Larry, were you giving an update there? Were you giving an update on that coronavirus? Is that something important enough that we need to talk about? See, listen, there is so much misinformation, disinformation, different opinions, yada, yada, yada. It would appear to me, from what I understand, that anything going on with this virus, if it is virus, it's going to hit here probably in 10 days, 14 days, any type of quarantine, anything like that. That's when that'll happen. Larry, do you have an update on that? Anybody?
I just have that, you know, up until yesterday, the Chinese government was officially, their official story was they were being transparent. They wanted to keep everything in the open and keep people updated so that they would have the best chance of combating this thing. However, sometime during the day yesterday, our day yesterday, which was overnight, their night, I don't know what that's a time zone thing like you were talking about, but they started going shut. They started going mum and being quiet and not coming forth with their updates and their new numbers and everything. And they started backpedaling on some of the statements that they have made earlier about it and stuff. The bottom line is that the backdoor reports that have been coming out of China, you know, the people have VPNs and they can still make video calls and stuff like that around the internet shutdown that China has initiated. They're saying that there are thousands and thousands and thousands more people affected than the government is saying. I know that those two hospitals they're building in 10 and 15 days, nobody with 1/100th of a brain cell would think that they can build a hospital that quickly. They're building nothing but death houses to put people in to die. And anyway, it's really, over there at least, worse than we have been told, I do believe. And over here, it is in such the beginning stages of our exposure to it and our position in the spread it out chart that it has the potential to be as bad here as it is over there.
So trying to keep everything in perspective, again, folks, I'm sorry for the connection issues. I'm way out in the middle of nowhere here in Fort Fairfield, Maine. Listen, we don't want to fall into panic mode here, folks. So, you know, we did the show on Monday where we talked about preparation, making sure you had some essentials and all that stuff. Just make sure that you've done that. If this thing does get worse here in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 days, we're going to see. We'll see something. Who knows what it is? And those of us who wear those crazy tinfoil hats, who see a conspiracy theory behind every tree and behind every door, we have to make sure that we don't respond in a panicked way here, but rather that we respond prudently. Now, here's something else that I saw, and I said to my wife yesterday on the plane, as bad as this thing might be, if we're getting the facts, if it's all true, 85% of the people don't die. Now, 15% is a high mortality rate. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like this thing's going to come out and wipe out every city. There are people who are surviving. And I saw that I was watching on the Hagman report the other night that Ted Brewer was talking about vitamins and some other things that you can take just to up your immune system. The people who probably are dying from it are immune deficiency issues. Maybe diet-related. Who knows what it would be? So this thing, although it could be very, very deadly, is not. Let's not overreact on. So as I said on Monday, just get some food, get some water, and just have to make sure that if they do a quarantine or they have to close down anything like that, that you got enough food to be able to get through. Let's not panic by that. By the way, the scripture tells us that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I had people say, Coach, you shouldn't go up to Prescott. You shouldn't go up there. That, you know, there's going to be all those diseases, all that virus. It's going to be in those airplanes. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with. And I learned this from Russ Dizdar. I'm in the Lord's hand, right? We all are. And none of us are going to be able to extend our life, not 30 seconds beyond. If the Lord calls us home, there isn't anything that we can do about it. So let's not be panic mongers here. Let's make sure that the information that we put out is well researched, makes sense. I don't know about you. I don't trust the government. Sorry, just don't. Don't trust Center for Disease Control. Well, one of the things that somebody said that we have to keep an eye on is if all of a sudden Bill Gates comes out with a vaccine, we know something's crazy because from what the research I've been doing, it takes about a year, maybe 14, 15 months to come up with a vaccine. You don't just all of a sudden say, oh, well, let's go in the lab here and let's create a vaccine for this thing. That's not the way that it works. So let's keep an eye on that and how this thing's going to flow. And I don't want this show to be all about this, but I think it's just prudent that we understand what's going on. So, Larry, as you're following this thing pretty closely, any precautions other than food and water, which you ought to have anyway, friends? I'm up here in Presque Isle. The snow's up to the, you know, it's up to the hood of the car. So they're used to it. We're used to blizzards, we're used to tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters and power going out. You need to prepare just for that alone. And other than that, I really don't know what precautions we can make. Go ahead, Larry. I know you've done a lot of research on it. Go ahead.
Most experts that I've heard on what to do or what not to do are in agreement that the most effective thing is self-imposed isolation. In other words, you and yours have that food so that you can hunker down and you can observe what's happening outside. And if people are catching it right and left outside your front door, don't go outside your front door.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
It makes sense. And again, you know, it's not like electrocution. In other words, everybody who gets it all of a sudden drops over dead. There's appears to be right now a mortality rate of about 15%. I'm certainly not making light of that, but let's keep things in perspective here. So listen, I found myself today kind of in a flea flicker, Wednesday position because I'm having technical issues here. But I want to share with you a little bit about what happened last night, what we got going on up here. And really, folks, listen, we can become so overwhelmed by information. Information overload is just absolutely crazy. I don't know if you're following the information that they're all of a sudden putting out there now about Kobe Bryant and about the Illuminati. And by the way, I'm not taking a side one way or another on all that stuff. But part of what we're fighting here in the good old U.S. of A. is a disinformation campaign. Remember this. Satan is the author of lies. He's not just a liar. Everything he says is based on deception. And if we understand Psalm 2, that the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed, we have to understand that much of the conspiracy that we see going on around us has to do with disinformation. Did God really say? That's Satan's greatest technique. What you are hearing, is it really the truth? Can you trust Sean Hannity? Can you trust Rush Limbaugh? Is Rush Limbaugh part of the big cabal as well? Is he just playing a different position on this team? Why is it Rush Limbaugh never really gets to the heart of the issue? Why is it Rush Limbaugh is really nothing more than a play-by-play announcer or a color commentary? Look what they're doing over here. Pelosi's got the ball here, and oh, no, she drops back, and she throws the ball over to Harry Reid. Oh, Harry Reid, he's running down the sidelines. Oh, look at this, Harry Reid, he just kicked it over. That's what's going on. That's exactly what's going on. And I'm not saying that Rush is part of the disinformation thing, but he is. He is part of it. Part of this conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. I want you to ask yourself one very simple question. Can you name for me one openly Christian person in the media? I'm going to pause a minute and let you give me an answer. Let's see, Hannity, Savage, Alex Jones. Well, Alex Jones is, but he cusses every other word. He says he's a Christian. Savage. Mike Gallagher. Can you help? Do you understand, folks?
Yeah, Sean Hannity claims to be.
Well, he's a Catholic. Claims to be. Right. But do you hear people who are standing up in the media and letting us know that their message is coming from a Christian perspective? And doesn't that make sense to you that in this media world that we live in, where everybody wants to hear everybody else's position, we want to hear from the transgenders, and we want to hear from the tree huggers, and we want to hear from everybody. Why are we not hearing one, even just one, clear Christian voice in the media? I'm going to pause again. Does anybody know who that one clear... Listen, I'm not talking about Pat Robertson on CBN or whatever he's on. I'm not talking about these Christian radio stations and Christian TV stations. Why have we accepted the isolation that they forced us into? Why is it if you want to preach a Christ-centered message, you can't preach it to the public? You have to go start your own Christian radio station. Why is that? And if we know that we're living in an environment like that where Christian thoughts and Christian ideas are unable to be in the daily mainstream discussion, is it any wonder why we find ourselves in the mess that we are in? I'm going to pause again. Somebody tell me right now one national figure that you know you can turn on your TV and you will get the Christian message. Now, again, not some small cable podcast, not Coach Dave Live. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody, MSNBC, PMSNBC, Fox News, CNN, ABC, NBC, one person giving a very clearly speaking for the Lord message. Anybody know one?
You won't find one because the media doesn't allow it. It'll never happen. The media is controlled by the devil.
Okay, so
that's why we have alternative media.
Amen. That's the point I'm making, right? That's the point I'm making. And so as a result of that, we as Christians, I've preached this message for as long as I've been on the air. There's only two sides. There's only two teams, boys and girls. There's only two teams. We know this. Why? Because it goes back to the book of Genesis, where we're told that there was the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and that the Lord would put enmity, an eternal struggle between those two seeds. And the battle would be between the devil's seed and her seed. That would be the battle. And folks, there is no demilitarized zone. You're on one team or you're on the other. You can't mix those two teams. If you do, you end up with traitors in our midst. And as a result of that, anyone who is not walking with the Lord, not clearly on the Lord's team, boys and girls, the Lord himself said you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. You cannot be a Christian, go on CBS, and hide your Christianity. You can't do that, folks. Can't do it. And so as Robert just said, one of the issues that we're facing is those who are in control. By the way, the kings of this earth, Psalm 2, who are in control of the media, the prince of the power of the air, those guys, their job is to make sure my voice doesn't get out to the people. You get it? We see what's going on here, folks? Yes, sir.
Well, in other words, basically what it is everything else has come out of the closet, but Christians have gone into the closet.
They've locked the door. They force us in there, Paul, and they've locked the door. And as a result, we get, dare I say this? We get conservatives. What is a conservative? What, folks, come on, wake up here. What's a conservative? Rush Limbaugh is a conservative. So are the log cabin Republicans. They're homosexuals. who are conservative. And what we see all across America, that they've done a great job of changing our identity. We don't most of us, when we stand up, we do not identify ourselves as Christians. We identify as conservatives, right? That's what they, what does the media classify us as? Evangelicals. Like we're just some small group. Evangelicals. But see, even in evangelical ranks, there's divisions. And the media is constantly trying to tell us evangelicals that we shouldn't be voting for Trump because he's a sinner. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that the media is trying to tell us evangelicals don't vote for Trump because he's a sinner? Sinners shouldn't be in positions of authority. Now, Rachel Maddow, she's not a sinner. She's okay. Right? Folks, do we see the two-card Monty that you're playing on? Do we understand it? And unfortunately, most people that you come in contact with are totally confused and engulfed in this confusion because they don't understand how the game is being played. That's my 2 cents worth. That's what I see is going on. The media is totally and completely, for the most part, controlled by the devil. But I've had people say to me, Coach, we need to get you your own. I had a guy tell me one time, your own candle. In other words, your own radio station. Get you on your own radio station. Yeah, that's right. Isolate Christians even more. That's not what I want. I don't want to spend all my time and effort and energy talking just to Christians. Who wants to do that? Hey, do me a favor. Give me a slot on PMSNBC or PMSLSD. Give me a spot right in the middle of the devil's territory and let me speak the truth to everybody. Because, see, here's what's happening. Oprah and her, I'm sorry if I'm on this rant. Stay with me a second. Oprah and her crew, what has Oprah and her crew done? Oprah has talked about living out your truth. Your truth. And are you smart enough to open your eyes and understand this has crept into the church as well? There is no standard of truth in the church anymore. Some churches permit gay marriage. Some churches don't permit it. Some churches are you with me, folks? Because we have taken morality, we have taken truth, and we have homogenized it. Is that what you do? Is homogenizing it? Is that what they do to that milk? They homogenize it? We have homogenized Christianity. We have one flavor fits all. And what is that flavor? Don't judge. Don't judge. Don't disobey the government. Don't judge. Don't disobey the government. Homogenize Christianity. That's the battle we're fighting. So we are in a world of hurt because who speaks in the American society, in the American culture, who speaks for Christ? Who is that person that speaks for Christ? Well, it used to be the Pope till he flipped sides. Can't even trust what the Pope says anymore. Who are the strong religious leaders that they're going to put on TV that are going to give you the clear biblical message? Rick Warren? Bill Hybels? Who are they going to put on there? Joel Osteen? To give you a watered-down, confusing blend of Christianity? Anybody with me? Do you see what we're dealing with? And because of that, our leadership, our Christian leadership, for the most part, is also confused. Hang on a minute. What's the Christian perspective on the Second Amendment? Does that matter which church you walk into? This pastor thinks it's okay, but I go across the street and that pastor over there doesn't think it's okay. Or you're sitting in a church and you're packing in the church. And the person beside you, if they found out you were packing in the church, they would run out the door. They think, no, you don't want to. Violence. We'll never, ever approve of violence, ever. What is the, folks, what's the flavor of milk that we're getting? And can we all continue to get our own Heinz 57 brand of Christianity and have any form of unity in this country? That's the battle that we're fighting. The devil's minions are doing everything they can to poison the seed. And what is the seed? It's the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the seed. Everything they do is to poison that seed. I'm going to shut up a minute and let somebody come in.
Bingo.
Yes. Come on in.
You've already said it.
Well, so what do we do? So last night, Bob Roy just walked into the room. They brought me up here to be part of what they're trying to accomplish here in Maine. And we had a little meet and greet with some really, really good, down-home, down-hearted Christian people who are really, really concerned. But what are we going, what, boys and girls, what's the plan? What is the plan? Did you want to say something, Bob? No. What's the plan? And so we're in a room last night, and we go around the table, and David Arthur's there. God bless David Arthur. What's his plan? Well, he's against homosexuality. And then sitting beside me is a gentleman I met last night, 82 years old, been working to get Christ back in our schools and education, and his plan is education, and he's moving that far. And Jack McCarthy's there. God bless Jack. What's Jack's plan? Jack's plan's the Constitution. And we go to J.R. J.R. went in the room last night. J.R.'s is the natural family. And we go to Larry, and Larry's is the Muslims. And they're all good. They're all good. But, folks, they are all part of the divide and conquer. And the message I tried to bring last night, and I try to bring everywhere we go, dude, if your issue is the family, God bless you. If your issue is Muslims, God bless you. We have got to build an army of people who are ready to run to those who are, in fact, fighting the fight. I said to Doc last night, I said to him, I'm on your side, Doc. They're trying to get Christ back in the schools up here, and they have, in fact, in some of the schools up here. I said, I'm on your side. How can I help? How can I help? And he didn't really know what to say. Why? Because you can't find any help. You can't find any. So I said, dudes, that's why I'm here. Let's put together a team. So that when Larry has an issue with Muslims, we all help Larry. When JR has an issue with the natural family, we all help JR. When David Arthur has an issue with the homos, we all help him. We can't win our battle divided. We can't win this way. Now, what do we do? Because our issue, see, the greatest issue is there is no commonality, no unity within the churches. Come on now. Let's be big boys here. Truth being, in this community in which you live, the pastors may know each other. Maybe. They may know each other. But they're not working together. Not really. They're all pushing towards the same goal, and they say, you know, God bless your brother, and you keep preaching, and you know, build whatever. But there's no commonality. There's no unity. I can't pick up a phone right now. I'm telling you, where I live, I cannot pick up a phone and guarantee you that I could have five pastors come to a meeting. I can't do it. I've been doing this for how long, and I can't do it. I might get a meeting with one of them individually. But I say, hey, Pastor Joe, do you know Pastor Bill? Yeah, I know Pastor Bill. Have you ever sat down with him? Well, no. How do we win like that? Now, Doc last night, 82 years old, you know what he said last night? And I hate to say this. He said, boys, we can't work in the church. We can't work in the church. He said, not only are the pastors not willing to get involved, the people sitting in the pew, they have no clue. They have no clue.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
What a mic drop. Remember, God reveals in Romans, I believe it is, that salvation was brought to the infidels for the sole purpose of bringing the Jews to jealousy so they will come into the realization of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and could it be possible that the same situation applies to, quote, the church? Could God be using, we've got to get true believers out of the churches, connected together, doing God's work to be in the face of the attention of the people that are still in the churches, that at that point in time, that then they will come and they will seek to be a part of it. But trying to do it inside the church is a useless activity. Trying to reform the churches is a useless activity. We've got to follow the pattern God followed with offering salvation to the infidels. We've got to get true Christians out of the church, and we have got to do that by doing what God wants us to do, and that's unify. Demonstrate that unity like you're talking about. Demonstrate that unity in our society, and then those people who are so inclined that are still stuck in those four walls, then they'll come out. They'll want to be a part of this new movement. They'll want to be a part of this new excitement of some victories, a new excitement of some godly victories, and going back in the churches and trying to get those pastors to come on board and trying to reform the churches from within. I tell you, folks, it ain't going to work.
Well, folks, hey, Larry, that's been my experience. That has been my experience. I think you're on the right path there.
So listen, here's what it is, Glenn. Listen, I know that I come across as a pastor basher, and that's not what I want to do. I want to ask you guys a very simple question. All of you who have found yourself being part of this program almost every day. Some of you guys have been here almost every day. And the truth of it is, you are here every day, not because I'm such a dynamic guy, although I am. You're here because every day your faith is challenged. And every day you are looking at something from a different perspective than you did the day before. And when you get up in the morning and it's time to come on the air at 7 o'clock, if you tried to hit the snooze button, you probably can't. Because you want to get up because you're afraid you are going to miss something. Do you have that attitude about what's going on at your church? Is that same attitude that's happening in your church? Well, of course not. And why is that attitude not happening on church? It's not because your pastor is an evil guy. It's not because your pastor is just about money. It's not what is that? Can somebody help me? I'm going to say it because I know you all know it. You cannot teach what you do not know. You cannot teach what you have not done. And so as a result, we have a Christianity that has been watered down. Boys and girls, very simple question. To me, this is the nuts and bolts. What is the purpose of your salvation? To get to heaven? Live a good life? What's the purpose? I'm opening it up. Somebody tell me. What is the purpose of your salvation? Now, listen, before I do it, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that's what John said. In today's modern American Christianity, if you go talk to somebody and say, I hear it all the time, Coach, we just got to get them saved. We just got to get them saved. I say this, saved for what? Somebody help me.
Well, Coach, I like what Dale said yesterday, Luke 19:10, Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Injustice, all the things the devil has stolen, we need to go out and proclaim.
Hang on a minute, Robert. Robert, for those who didn't catch it yesterday, Pastor Dale said that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, not those which were lost. Those are not the same thing. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, that's what I was saying. We need to go and restore that which the devil has stolen, and that's freedom, liberty, justice, deliver those hellbound. All these things we need to go out and do. It's the kingdom of God. We got to take it by force. We can't Amen. Sit on our butt and think we're going to win.
Amen. Amen. And so this idea, see, of personal salvation, I don't know about you, my personal salvation inspired me to serve my king.
Hey, Coach.
That's what my personal salvation did. Now, as a result of that, I get to go live with him forever. Not here. Someplace else. I get to go live with him forever. That's my reward. But while I'm here, I'm his ambassador. Boys and girls, what does an ambassador do? Have you guys been watching what's going on with Donald Trump and or Ukraine? And they got all those ambassadors there, all these ambassadors testifying. Because why? Because the ambassador speaks for the president. If you are an ambassador... If you're an ambassador, you speak for your king.
Exactly, Coach. But an ambassador, more than that, represents the government in which sent him. In other words, we don't get to speak what we want to speak. We must speak what the kingdom of God has told us to speak. What you know, that relationship that was lost, that which was lost. Think about this. Adam didn't play cards and marbles in the garden. He took dominion in the garden. He had authority in the garden. He named the animals. He had power over that. That's what God wants to restore to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
so, yes, sir.
You know, you said a while ago, and you've said it many times, that you can't preach what you don't know, what you haven't been exposed to, what you haven't done.
Right.
The other side of that nickel is you do preach what you believe.
Mm.
And the lies they're preaching is what they believe. That's the fault. That's what makes a satanic social club, is they are preaching lies because they believe the lies.
So let me pause here a second, because, folks, I'm on the phone. I don't know who's in the queue. I don't know anything, okay? I want somebody to testify right now of how your life has changed as you've been part of what's going on here, as your eyes are beginning to be opened. Would somebody testify?
Yeah, well, I'll testify. I'll testify. Before I met your coach, I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But what you did was you articulated in a way that opened our eyes, okay, and said, you know, he's right. We got to do something about this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I'm forever grateful. And so now I'm struggling with, okay, What can I do, okay, to make a difference? You know, Coach, you're a fire starter wherever you go. You know, you're kicking up dust wherever you go. Not all of us are like that.
Right.
But we all have a calling, and we all could do something. The question is, okay, where do we fit? Where do we recognize our calling, and can we put it to use? And
because
that's what I'm trying to do.
We all have a realm of influence. Be an influencer. Just where you are. Folks, you can't bite the whole apple. You got to find that niche where you are and be an influencer in that area. It could be your family, could be a men's prayer group, it could be whatever. Be an influencer right there. That's really where we have to begin. Somebody else, come on in. Good word.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach. I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like an outsider. I thought these things that I saw, I couldn't believe they must be going on. I must be crazy. Until I start listening more to you, and I'm like, I ain't the only crazy one in the bunch then, because this none of this is making sense.
Well,
but God bless you.
Well, Coach, by the way, it's not just me. I'm the guy who stirs the drink, But there's great, the Bible tells us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. There's unbelievable wisdom within this group. Some of the things that Randy says and Pastor Dale says, and I could go on and on. The people, right? The assembling of ourselves together, the body of Christ. And we ought to be smart enough and figure out how we can put this thing together, because I believe we have more parts to this puzzle than we realize. Somebody else, come on in. God bless you, Craig.
Yeah, I think the exposure to this program culminated or activated or revived in me what I knew to be true from reading God's word. But after being rejection and rejection and rejection after rejection in the churches and in the church world, I was beginning not to doubt what I believed was truth, but I was beginning to doubt my reason for knowing the truth. What am I supposed to do with it? And being connected here has allowed me to receive strength from you guys who are willing to understand that the Bible does say what it says. And one a fairly recent member of our group, Robert Klaus, has come in and put an exclamation point behind the urgency of spreading truth.
Amen. And how many people do you know who are right now where you were 3 years ago? Look how far you have come in your walk. Look how some of the things that you used to fervently believe, now you're saying, well, maybe I was wrong. That's a good thing, because we don't want to believe something if it's not true. And so this has been a very, very, a great watering hole where people have been able to come and drink the living water from a different perspective. So it comes back again then to your area of influence, your realm, the people that you have the ability to influence. That's where it has to begin. Somebody else, come on. I can't tell you. Can I tell you something? I can't tell you how much Randy Lunsford has blessed my life. I can't tell you how much Mark Trump has blessed my life. See, I get texts and emails during the day of new revelations that they got that they forward to me, and then I scratch my head and say, wow, I never looked at it. Guys, do you want to believe something that's not true? Or do you want to believe something that is true? And if somebody brings new information to you, rather than you getting mad and say, well, that's, brother so-and-so, that's not what brother so-and-so taught me. Well, brother so-and-so might be wrong. Not on purpose. He may have been mistaught. He may have been, had somebody give him a perspective on something that you don't have. Or I might have a perspective that you don't have. When Mark Trump said to me, Coach, don't read the Bible linearly. In other words, don't read the Bible from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3. Coach, read the Bible deep. In the beginning, stop there and ask yourself the question, what does that mean? Beginning? When was the beginning? What did it look like in the beginning? What about this? In the beginning. In. What do you mean in the beginning? You understand what I'm saying? Read it deeper. We understand. It's like I watch when we're doing work up in, I was watching Joseph Allen doing some work up at Sky High, some electrical work, doing some stuff right there. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, number one, how does he know how to do that? And number two, how do I learn how to do it? That's where most of us are in our Christian walk. Most of us are there. Hey, listen, many of our pastors are still using flip phones. They haven't moved into the new technology. That new technology that brings life to that, living word that's now dead and settled in the hearts of many people. There are new revelations that are coming every day about things that are going on around us, and most guys, they're still stuck on their flip phones. You understand the point that I'm making, right? We're living in a time when information is literally at our fingertips. Did you know I saw this? Kobe Bryant's wife heard about Kobe dying before it hit the news. TMZ somehow got found out about it. Somebody heard it on TMZ, and somebody called Kobe's wife. She knew about it before the word had even been out publicly. We live in an absolute instantaneous information age. And the idea, boys and girls, of you just sitting in your prayer closet with your Bible, just you and the Lord and just the Bible, I'm sorry, I'm all for that. But if that's all you're doing, then you're not taking advantage of the information available to make that book that you're holding come alive. Somebody come on in.
Well, Coach, I think the big challenge, I know for me, is to find someone of like mind so I can go out there in twos or threes or fours and fight the battle. If I can just find two or three local people of the same mindset, that's a gigantic victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can go out and do it. It's pretty hard to do it by ourselves, but we have to. We can't excuse ourselves, but we need
bingo,
we need
Robert.
Help.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too is that I think the current church model is you know, your analogy with the flip phone is good. I think the current church model's out of date. You know, because we're not really influencing the culture. Who's driving the culture? It's the people sitting at the seats of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in an airplane, you may want to go a certain place, but the pilot's going to take you where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. You have no control over that. So we can go to a school board meeting, or we can run for the school board.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's what we have to change our thinking, and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir, Jeff.
I use a lot of things from the show quite often. Yesterday, I used Pastor Dale's, that which was lost and those which are lost. And I told Dale after the show, I said, I'm going to use that, Dale. Yesterday, I got to use it three different situations in one day. And the one guy was from Hilliard, Ohio. You know where that's at.
Right.
He's in a Bible study of men. So I shared Robert's devotion book with him. He bought one right there on the spot. We went through some things in it. Then I showed him his other book. He said, man, he said, I'm going to bring, because he always stops in my lot about three times a year. He's a salesman. And he said, I'm going to show this to our men's group. We got a huge Bible study men's group. He said, but we always talk about the same thing over and over and over every year. I said, I can get this guy that wrote the book and a few other guys, and we'll come to your Bible study. He said, man, I'm going to get that done. I said, all right, brother, let me know. And he walked out just happy.
Amen. So let me ask you a question. Is Randy in here today?
Yeah, I'm in.
So Randy, how did you end up here, Andy?
The Holy Spirit.
No, I understand that. But how did you end up in here, Randy? Did somebody tell you about it?
Relationships opened the doors. That's what happened. You know, George Lewis brought me to Texas, to Chad's, and I met you. And I'm searching, Coach. I mean, I wanted to find out the true definition of assembling. Okay, that's where I'm at. That's what I was going to say. What we see in people going to buildings and listening to a sermon and doing something or that, is that really stirring up good works? And is that stirring up love and good works? That's what the assembly does. Coach, mm-hmm. This is what our relationships, my relationships with many of the people in the queue here is a long distance one. We don't even see each other, but is going on? We are assembling. It is more than a natural thing. It's spiritual, but what it does, it stirs up good works. Coach, that's what you did. I became a doer. I became an active doer when I met you. This is what changed my mentality. And by really assembling, you stir that up in each one of us to be active. And that's what it has done for me.
It's so, Randy, it's different than walking on a concrete basement floor or pouring a concrete basement floor. Those aren't the same things, are they, Randy?
That's right. That's right, Coach. It's good.
And so, folks, that's listen, I am not against pastors. God bless them. I can't imagine doing that job. I can't imagine it. So anybody out there that's offended, that is not my intention. I can't imagine what a difficult time that is. But I would say this. It's time to move beyond the flip phone. We're in an electronic age. We're in a time when knowledge is being revealed like never before, and that the people sitting there in the congregation have questions, and they don't know where to go, and they are not making the connection between what's going on in the natural world and what's going on in the spiritual world. And, Lord, why am I here? Robert, get ready. I skipped you yesterday. I don't want to do that again. Why am I here? Can I say something in a minute? Why am I here? Me, I'm talking about. What am I doing in Presque Isle? Now, oh, they're mad. It's not Presque Isle. Fort something. What am I doing here? I don't know. But the Lord told me to go, so I went. And I know this, that if he told me to went, then he's going to do something with it, right? See, we want to see the paycheck before we do the work. We want to reap the harvest before we planted the seed. Fellas, that isn't the way it works. Pastors, that's not the way it works. There are people sitting. Guys, you come across them every day. Guys who are just ripe to be picked. Just ripe to be picked. They got questions. They're not getting the answers. That's one of our jobs. Go ahead there, Robert Klaus. Read that for us here today, brother.
Okay, January 29th. Here we are. The quote is, "Lordship would not have to be debated if the Lord's command to make disciples was obeyed." It's Lordship. Mm. A new song for a new day. "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Believe it or not, we can be that, even though we have challenging times. "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne." And as you say, he laughs at the nations. "When we feel like we are falling into a pit of destruction, we can rest assured that he has set our feet on the solid rock, the sure foundation of his true church. Though the God of heaven is shaking all the nations, his holy nation receives a kingdom which will never be shaken. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And that's what we need to be experiencing and advancing. "The Lord puts a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. We sing a new song because we belong to and serve him who sits on the throne, who is already making all things new. Those who have received a new birth and overcome will receive a new name and enter his new kingdom." Again, we have to overcome. "Being in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. God says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Of course, we got to step forward and walk through. "We will receive a new inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled. It will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, those who have not stored up treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We possess a new mind, the mind of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have a new citizenship in heaven because we are aliens and strangers to the world. We are adopted into the new family as children of Abba, our Heavenly Father, no longer children of the devil and father of lies, in bondage to sin and carrying out his desires. God has given us a new spirit of power and love and discipline, replacing the spirit of timidity and fear. Being united with the risen Christ, we walk in newness of life, no longer walking according to the course of this world, which lies in the sphere of the evil one. We are blessed by the new covenant of God that secures our eternal redemption and inheritance. Our conscience is cleansed from former dead works of religion to serve and enjoy a new relationship with God. We possess new hope, the anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, which enters the very presence of the God of heaven. No longer hopeless and without God in the world. So we sing a new song for a new day. So, you know, that's who we are in Christ. We should be hopeful, optimistic, overcoming, and move forward.
Amen, Robert. So here it is, folks. As Robert was reading that, here's what came up in my spirit. By the way, sorry for the technical difficulties at the beginning of the show here. Here it is. I'm talking about me now. I'm on my way to heaven. My place is secure. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to raise as much hell as I can on the way. R-A-I-Z-E. Raise hell. That's what we all should focus on. That's to be what we do, to destroy the works of the devil. That's our job. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.